US inflation, it's not coming down. And after those job numbers last week running hotter than expected, it's time to rethink the speed of cuts from the Fed. We're seeing quite a response in the bond markets to that news. Equities also hit hard, and a rise in the US dollar, it's overshadowed the two central banks, which also met the Bank of Canada and the RBNZ, both doing what was expected of them. But we'll look at what was said at those meetings. The next one, the ECB, meeting later today. It's Thursday, the 11th of April, 2024. It's the Morning Call from NAB. Good morning. Well, the US dollar has spiked. It's up 1% with a 1% drop in the euro. The pound has lost 1.1%. The Aussie dollar down 1.8% to 65.1 US cents. And a massive move up in bond yield. 10-year treasuries up 18 basis points to 4.55%. Up 12 for 10-year gilts and 6 basis points higher for 10 years in Germany and France. Aussie 10 years rose just 5 basis points before all the excitement yesterday to 4.12%. Now on futures up to 4.22%. So that's a 10 basis point move overnight. And US equities are well down as well. The Dow closed down 1.1%. The S&P 0.9% lower and 0.8% off the NASDAQ at close. But shares rose in Europe. The Eurostoxx 50 up 0.2%. The FTSE 100 up 0.3%. And oil pushing back up 1.2% for WTI and Brent. Brent, which is now back over 90 a barrel. Now, most of those moves result from the latest US CPI. I read. He is NAB Sky Masters to talk through those with us from Sydney. So the headline rate year on year has risen to 3.2% to 3.5%. A rise was expected, but only to 3.4%. The core rate is at 3.8%, which is the same as last month. So it's high. But this is quite a strong response, isn't it, from the markets, really? I mean, considering it was such a small move.
Good morning, Phil. Yeah, it's a very interesting overnight session. If you're looking at intraday moves for bond yields, really, yeah, the big spike higher in yields occurred around that sort of half an hour after the US CPI print, which you know, as you said, has come in. Come in a bit stronger than expected, and you know, the fear was that this may be the case, and so that sort of puts into question that view that, you know, had US inflation just hit a bump in the road in January and February, and things were gonna look better going forward, and this data set has really put that into question, and you know following on from that very strong payrolls report on Friday, it just really puts into doubt expectations that the Fed will start cutting in June. So the OIS curve has, or the market has really pushed out rate expectations for the Fed.
And how many? So if it's not June, I mean, if it's not June, will it be July? And if it's not July, then you're starting to get close to the run-up to the election. So is September too close to November the 5th, which is when the election is? I mean, the BOK in, you know, the November meeting is just before the election, so just after the election, so they could run in November and December. But if they did that, that's only two cuts. So, yeah, big question marks, isn't there?
Yeah, so if looking at the US OIS curve, so the market now only has, 17% chance that the Fed will go in June. So very much sort of pushed those expectations out. So, you know, they're pricing 22 basis points for September, and expectations of sort of a full cut being seen by November. So, and in terms of the total for the year ahead, the market's now pricing only 41 basis points of cuts for the year. So if you remember in the Fed's dot plot profile, they've got 75 basis points of cuts for the year. But if you recall the dispersion of the dots, you only really need one member to lift their dot plot up, and that will sort of point to the Fed looking at two cuts, not three cuts for this year. And that's sort of where the market is settling at the moment. Obviously we need to get the PPI number out, which is coming out tonight, for the market to sort of shore up its expectations for the next PCE report, which is obviously the one that the Fed focuses on, not the CPI. But looking at sort of current preliminary forecast for that, I think, you know, forecasters are lifting those expectations following today's CPI print. And I'm seeing some forecasters looking at a 0.31 core PC for March versus 0.26 for February. So, you know, there is an expectation that core PCE stays relatively high, which would be uncomfortable for the Fed.
Yeah, and how much of this is a surprise, really? Because if you look at the FOMC minutes, which obviously were a reflection at a point in time, and we had a press conference, they sort of reflect what was said at the time. And, I mean, there were concerns expressed in those minutes about this persistence of high inflation. They said recent data did not increase their confidence that inflation was moving down sustainably to 2%. Well, that's clearly not the case. They did say that there would be cuts at some point this year, which means presumably one or two, which is where we're saying we are now. So why such a surprise? Why such a sharp move? And I guess it's only because this is the third time we've had a surprise, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the market was still hanging on to the expectation that the Fed would go in June. You know, I think we were sort of, you know, 50-50 chance maybe after payrolls print. But, you know, in my view, and maybe I am just focusing on the more hawkish Fed speakers, but, you know, the Fed speakers that have come out post the latest FOMC meeting have been pointing to the cautiousness, you know, and I didn't think they're really setting the market up for a June cut. And as you say, the meeting minutes just highlight their concern around the confidence of, you know, is inflation sustainably moving lower, and the recent inflation data for this year says, well, no, maybe it's not. It's putting it in doubt. So I think the reaction by the market is, you know, it is somewhat fair, particularly in the OS curve, in terms of pushing rate expectations out for the bond market. You know, you could say it's a little bit of an overreaction. You know, you've had sort of very big moves. You know, the two-year Treasury yield, what did it do? It rose 25 basis points post the CPI print and sort of held on to those moves. The 10-year initially was up 16 basis points, but it's continued to push higher. I've got it currently around 21 basis points above the pre-CPI levels. And also what's impacted the 10-year part of the curve is a poor note auction. So at around 3 a.m. this morning, our time, the 10-year note auction was held, and it tailed 3.3 basis points, where the demand stats were quite soft. Indirect bidding was the lowest that we've seen since October last year. So, you know, I think that's a fair outcome, given it came on a day where that you had inflation, you know, again, surprising to the upside. You know, 10-year Treasury yields at you know, pre-CPI were at about, like, you know, 4.35. If you think the Fed's really not going to start cutting till later this year, and they may only deliver 40 basis points of cuts,
yeah,
a low yield when you've got a cash rate currently at 5.35.
Yeah, and banks must have known what was going on, because we got the figures, the 30-year mortgage rate from last week. They rose from 6.91% to 7.01%. That was the average, which is sort of, it takes us back to where we were a month ago. So the Fed speakers you talk about, so Austin Goolsbee, he seems to speak a lot, doesn't he? He could order a meal at a restaurant and they'd issue a press release on it. And who else? And Barkin as well. Both saying the same thing, weren't they? It's going to take time to get inflation down. That was very clearly the message, which is hardly a surprise given the numbers we've just seen.
Yeah, and you know, it is going to take time. And you know, I don't think anyone is... you know, thinking that the Fed, well, most people aren't really thinking that the Fed needs to hike again, except for maybe Larry Summers, who's said overnight, I think there's a 15 to 25% chance that the Fed hikes again. Mm. But for the most part, you know, people are looking for the Fed to start easing. But yeah, this data just says it's not, you know, the chances of it coming in the next couple of months have been reduced. And then, you know, you've had the BOC overnight. You know, they had their meeting. They've left their cash rate unchanged, as expected. But even the BSE is saying they're not ready yet.
Mm.
You know,
June is possible, though. Tiff Macklem said June is possible, but the message was it could take time, wasn't it? They want to see if it's temporary or not.
Yeah, they're just not confident yet that they're nearly there, but they need a little bit more confidence that you know there's progress in price stability and that it will be sustained. If you've got the BOC saying that, and then you've got, compare their data with the Fed's data, it's expected that the Fed's not going to be the first central bank to cut. And that's where we started at the start of the year, didn't we? You know, or late last year, people were thinking that the Fed, may well lead the central banks in cutting policy, and the data year to date has really put that in doubt. At Canada, the market, June is still a possibility, but the market is now losing confidence on that. And I think pricing is sort of more at a 50-50 for the BOC to go in June, whereas previously it was running around a 75% chance.
So the RBNZ said yesterday the committee is confident that maintaining the OCR at a restrictive level for a sustained period will return consumer price inflation to within 1-3% target range this calendar year. Well, that's quite a way off, isn't it, really? They're another one on hold.
You sounded quite bored by saying that, Phil.
it is a challenge, isn't it? Read the minutes from a central bank and sound excited about it. No, it's just the fact that, that we're going to get, we think it'll happen this calendar year. That is relatively fast, given the way some central banks are talking. But, where are they right now, do you think, the RBNZ?
So RBNZ colleagues, their initial reaction was to that statement was no change in tone, nothing new to see here.
Why we're standing bored.
BNZ, our guys sort of have left their rate track unchanged, so they're still expecting the RBNZ to deliver their first cut in November. Mm. And for those who are looking for a dovish tilt yesterday from the RBNZ, were clearly disappointed.
Yeah. And the Bank of Japan, could they be going for a hike? We've wondered whether it was just the one. Governor Ueda was asked if he might lift rates to respond to the weak yen. He said they'd never do that, but they might lift rates if inflation rises above 2%. I mean, they are the only country in the world that wants to see inflation rise. And I guess we don't have to wait too long, because April the 26th, we get new inflation and growth forecasts from the BOJ. So we'll see what that has to say.
Yes. Yep. So you're correct. They're the only central bank out there wanting inflation to tick higher. And they're the only central bank at the moment looking to tighten policy. I guess it's stating the obvious. If inflation continues to rise, then it allows them to continue to tighten policy. NAB's expectation is that they have further tightening to do this year.
Yeah, it'll go according to plan. Look, we've got falls in oil prices, even though we've got a rise in inventories in the US overnight from 3.2 million barrels a couple of weeks ago to 5.8 million last week, which you would have thought would bring the price down. But the fact that there's just so much geopolitics that's probably got the market spooked a little bit. I mean, the political leader of Hamas has just said his three sons and at least two of his grandchildren have been killed on an airstrike in Gaza. Just as they go into peace talks, I mean, that probably doesn't bode too well for those peace talks, does it? And we've got the war in Ukraine. Both of them look like they're going to be around for a long time. So no wonder there's uncertainty, which is hitting oil prices. Today, it's the ECB, isn't it? And we also get CPI and PPI data for China as well. We get the final read on building permits for February for Australia, the Melbourne Institute inflation expectations. What else have we got? And PPI you mentioned as well for March and the weekly jobless claims in the United States. But what about the ECB? Another bank that's going to be on hold.
Yeah, on hold for this meeting. But, our expectation is that, Lagarde in her press conference will sort of point to teeing up June being the timing of the first rate hike. So Yeah, I think for me, when you're looking at central banks, like if you think they're going to start going in the next couple of months, now's the time to, you know, start indicating that in their commentary.
So they could be the first to go, really.
Yes. So NAB's sort of got penciled in a cut in June, and currently we've penciled in 100 basis points of cuts for the year.
Yeah. All right.
For the ECB.
Well, we'll see what is said later on today. Good to talk, Sky. We'll catch you again very soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
And that's Thursday morning's Morning Call. I'm Phil Darby for NAB. I'll see you again tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day. Bye.